Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Monday morning, Illinois is reporting more than 261,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. And again, this is known cases. Experts say the actual number of people who've been infected with coronavirus disease in Illinois is probably significantly higher. Beyond that, 8,309 people have died from the disease here. Later this hour, we'll be talking more about a volunteer effort to control the spread of COVID-19 in the Chicago area's Orthodox Jewish community. The organizer hopes the lessons she's learned there will help other relatively small communities in Illinois and elsewhere. We'll also be having a lighter conversation later about the fall home and gardening tips, from working in the yard to cleaning out your garage. But first, it's Monday, which means it's time for our Reporters Roundtable. Near the end of last week, a bipartisan panel of members of the Illinois House met to consider misconduct charges against the Speaker of the Illinois House, Michael Madigan. A day later, a longtime Democrat in the state Senate stepped down, the result of a federal tax evasion case. Joining us to talk about this and more are Tony Arnold, who covers politics for public radio station WBEZ in Chicago. Hello, Tony. Welcome back to the 21st.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And Rachel Hinton, who's a political reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times, and I believe joining us for the first time. Rachel, welcome to you as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Rachel, can you just kind of give us the lay of the land? What is this Madigan hearing all about? Who called for it? How did it come about? And what was it like?
Yeah, so this hearing is, this committee rather, is a pretty rare thing. It's only happened twice before, I believe, in the past two decades. It was called for by House Republican leader Jim Durkin, as well as two other Republican members of the House. And this committee is tasked with basically trying to understand Madigan's dealings, his business with ComEd. As we know, I believe in July, ComEd had a federal filing. They were hit with a bribery charge, and not bribery. They are under federal investigation. Sorry. And Madigan was implicated in that federal filing, and so now this committee is basically tasked with trying to understand whether or not Madigan has done anything wrong.
And Tony, I mean, as Rachel said, Madigan was implicated. Weirdly, they named, you know, public official A as the Speaker of the House, but they would not actually confirm that's Madigan, even though, as we know, he's been Speaker for all but 2 years out of most of the last four decades. But Tony, I know you've been following the ComEd story for a while. You think Republicans are just trying to push this forward when the feds seem to be taking their time and have not actually charged Madigan with wrongdoing?
Yeah, I would start here by saying that Madigan himself faces no criminal charges. He wasn't specifically named. They only referred to him as public official A in this bribery charge against ComEd. And Madigan also has repeatedly now said that he's done no wrongdoing, that there's only really two pieces of legislation here that ComEd's passed in the House that we're talking about in the last decade, basically, and that there was no ill will or anything like that, no false motives here on Madigan's part, and they were bipartisan. They were passed by a bipartisan majority in the House, so Republicans would have been in on this too. Madigan's also taken the tact here of saying, maybe showing the most emotion I've seen from him in years, really, by the presence of this committee, by this investigation, by his own colleagues in the House of Representatives into his dealings. He put out a statement, though, and Madigan's, he just does not do interviews. He doesn't talk. He doesn't pick up the phone. And so we're left as reporters dealing with these written statements that we get emailed to our inboxes. And this statement was just extremely fiery about saying that Republicans were creating a circus here and creating a political theater. And what leg do Republicans have to stand on when their president is under all these ethical investigations? And I think that that's all well and good, but it doesn't really address the ComEd investigation, which is what we're talking about here. And the thing I would point out about to your question is that I think Republicans will have a little bit of a hard time here because we don't have the full picture of what this, where this investigation's going. When you read what ComEd agreed to in their deferred prosecution agreement with the U.S. Attorney's Office, everything in there, there's quotes in there which imply that there was a wire or people were being secretly recorded, but nothing really gets to Madigan himself. You don't, there's nothing in there that says Madigan directed his associate or his friend to say so-and-so and set up this contract for somebody or set up a job for somebody. There's multiple examples in there and nothing directly to Madigan himself, just Madigan's associates or Madigan's friends, that kind of thing.
So I guess the question is, he seems to, so far, at least based on what evidence there is so far he has plausible deniability, right? Although it remains to be seen whether that will continue to be the case as the investigation continues.
Yeah, I think that's what Republicans are trying to get at. We have little clues here from the ComEd deferred prosecution agreement, but there's still some big holes in what we know so far about what the feds are looking into. And so the Republicans have called for Speaker Madigan himself to testify before this committee, along with some ComEd official executives, along with some lobbyists for ComEd, one of whom was Madigan's confidant, his close friend, his consigliere. We've obtained some emails from Michael McLean to the Speaker's office through the open records requests, and you get a sense of just how close that relationship was, to the point where this ComEd lobbyist, Michael McLean, was editing Madigan's inaugural speeches. That's not a typical behavior or relationship for a lobbyist and a public official like the House Speaker Michael Madigan. So we'll see what kind of testimony this committee even hears. We don't yet know that just because the Republicans are calling for them to testify that will actually happen.
And let me ask Rachel.
Like
that,
Rachel said, this is unprecedented. This is really entering uncharted territories here.
Yeah, and Rachel, one of the things that, you know, one of the few things that we do know is that the committee is asking the feds for guidance, right? Can you talk about what they are asking the U.S. attorney to sort of to guide them on?
Sure. So they're asking U.S. Attorney John Lausch they're basically reaching out, one, to let him know that this committee is happening and to make sure that he's aware that they're doing this work. But I believe they're also asking for any documents that he can hand over, or any sort of information that he can share with them. The Republicans on this committee didn't seem too optimistic that they would get that information, but they're still asking for it.
And I mean, do you have a sense? Do we expect Speaker Madigan to testify? Too early to tell, or what is your sense of that, Rachel?
I think it's too early to tell right now. You know, under the rules that created this committee, anyone who's named in a complaint is allowed to testify on their own behalf and see evidence, and I believe cross-examine witnesses too if they want. But as Tony said, Speaker Madigan doesn't say a whole lot. So I think it'll be interesting to see if he takes the committee up on that offer.
Tony, final question on this, unless you have something else you want to throw in. But I mean, the Speaker has had reasonably good relations with Jim Durkin over the years, the House Republican leader. Certainly, back when Tom Cross was the leader of the House Republicans and they both went together against Rod Blagojevich as governor. But even in recent years, there have been compromises and deals reached on pro-business items and, you know, budgetary matters. Do you have a sense of what this might do? You mentioned, Tony, the Speaker's anger that came across in his written statement about the future of the relations between Speaker Madigan and Leader Durkin.
The impression I have here is that Madigan sees that Durkin has crossed a line, and I really don't know what that means for that relationship and what it's going to be like in terms of negotiating any kind of even nonpartisan, largely agreeable legislation. You know, there was a couple of years ago, maybe two election cycles ago, there's kind of this handshake agreement or overall decorum there where between the House Republican leader and the Democratic leader who's, you know, been the speaker now since the Democrats have had the majority for so long. And a few years ago, it looked like the Democrats were actually gearing up to give a serious challenge to Durkin in his own district, which is in Chicago's western suburbs, not known for being terribly Democratic, but the suburbs are changing. They're turning more Democrat and have been for a while. And there's just kind of this bizarre incident where a campaign aide to that Democratic candidate ended up being charged and actually convicted by a jury of murder, and the Democratic candidate withdrew the whole candidacy. But it looked like Madigan was gearing up to take on Durkin in his home turf, which is just largely not really done. And I think ever since then, that when that realization happened, that things have changed a little bit. And then this federal investigation into ComEd just took off. The speaker's office has now been subpoenaed for even more information beyond just Madigan's relationship with ComEd, but also the speaker's office with Walgreens and Rush University Medical Center and AT&T. And so I think that now having this Durkin call this committee into formation to investigate the speaker's dealings, it's just really upended this relationship in a way even more than it has in the past. And I think that there could be consequences here for just the nature of how the House of Representatives conducts its business, what the relationship's like in negotiating any types of dealings between the Democrats and Republicans here.
Well, that is going to be fascinating to watch. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Tony Arnold, politics reporter at WBEZ, and Rachel Hinton, who's covers politics for the Chicago Sun-Times. And Rachel, there was a lot of uncertainty in the Madigan investigation into the future, but we are getting more certainty over the political future of State Senator Terry Link, or I should, I guess, say, spoiler alert, former State Senator Terry Link. Can you tell us what happened in his case at the end of last week?
Sure. So he resigned. He's been in the legislature for 24 years. His resignation comes nearly a month after being hit with a federal tax charge. His resignation, which I believe was filed Friday, or which we learned about Friday, became effective Saturday at 9 a.m. So a quick turnaround. In August, he was charged in federal court with filing a false income tax return for 2016, claiming then that his income was, $264,000 or thereabout, even though he knew his total income was substantially more than that. He's another piece in this federal corruption, investigation we're seeing.
And Tony, just a few minutes left, but I mean, this is, he was also alleged to have worn a wire on one of his colleagues. There was I don't know that has that been confirmed yet by the feds? What is the status of our knowledge on that, on the record versus, what people have learned and reported on background?
Link has vehemently denied publicly and to us that he ever was a government mole or wore a wire on any of his colleagues. State Representative Luis Arroyo was arrested earlier this year, I believe, maybe even last year. I've lost track. There have been so many. And he was charged with offering a bribe to someone who was cooperating with the feds. WBEZ and Rachel's paper, The Sun-Times, have both reported that person wearing the wire was Terry Link, even though he denies it to us. The deal there was that it was in exchange for support for some legislation for then State Representative Luis Arroyo's lobbyist client. He was a lobbyist on the side, in addition to being a state representative. Link is scheduled to be arraigned later this week. Maybe we'll get some more information about what level of cooperation, if any, he's having here, and might get some more details on that situation in a couple of days here.
I feel like for anyone who's watched that show Homeland, the lead character has the bulletin board with the string that connects all the dots together. You really need a scorecard to keep track here. Is Link's resignation, I mean, does this portend, do we Obviously, we don't know what the feds are doing, but I guess, Tony, it seems like, you know, the feds are continuing to sniff around, and we don't know how these cases are going to turn out yet, right? Arroyo is still, just in about 30 seconds, Arroyo is, I believe, pleaded not guilty. And, I mean, these cases are still ongoing, right?
They're still ongoing. You're right. Arroyo pleaded not guilty to the bribery charge, and we don't know. It's a very sprawling investigation that has wrapped up in not just, you know, the ComEd, but also in the red light camera industry and video gambling industry. It's brought down a couple of state senators already who have had to resign, in addition to one state representative. And what we know is that this Investigations Act, it's still ongoing, and there could be more to come.
Well, as we like to say in public radio, time will tell. We'll continue to watch this story as it evolves. Tony Arnold covers politics for WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio Station, and Rachel Hinton covers politics for the Chicago Sun-Times. Tony and Rachel, thanks so much for being here and sharing your reporting with us on the 21st.
Sure thing. Thanks.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, we are going to be taking a look at a volunteer contact tracing effort, an effort to control the spread of COVID-19 in the Chicago area's Orthodox Jewish community. That's coming up after the break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.